This is Jeff with The Mead House. Today, we are talking about Ethiopian-style meads. In other words, welcome to my Tesh Talk.
And this is Chris, trying to keep a straight face, which doesn't happen.
It's a dad joke, and it's a great dad joke.
It is a good dad joke. Not a regular entry, but hey, welcome to The Mead House.
Glad to have you guys tuning in. Again, we, as usual, thank you guys for tuning in, because we get to chat with you guys as an audience, you know, about once a week, maybe a half hour, maybe an hour, somewhere in there, and it's a fantastic time.
Yeah.
I get to interact with you guys on, you know, Facebook or on email and things like that when you guys write in, and we get so much out of that interaction and just knowing there are other people besides, you know, just the two of us sitting and chatting into the void here.
Like, that we would do it anyway, but it's nice to have company.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So anyway, like Jeff said, we're going to talk about Tej today, but he's one of the person we need to thank real quick. Boxes and Barley Corn.
As usual. They are sponsoring us again for 2026, and they are such a great company to work with, because I love working with small businesses. The local homebrew store is a dying breed.
Yeah.
Anything we can do to help
keep them going
in the public eye,
we will gladly do.
Absolutely. 100%.
But Jake and his teammates there, they have the supplies, they have the equipment, they have the knowledge, and they have the passion to help you get it right. And if there's something a little bit pear-shaped, maybe bring it back. So, and that's so important when you're starting off with something. Your first batch, you really want to make it right, just so you have the confidence to try another round.
I mean, if you're not making like our 8%, which I would like to think is fairly foolproof at the end of the day, and you want to make a beer or a cider or a wine that is also fairly foolproof, I think Bacchus is a great place to go for that, because that's always been, even as far back as when Jackie was, you know, teaching me the ropes there, the philosophy was, hey, look, they just want an easy win that tastes good, that they can drink, and then they'll keep coming back and making more and trying harder things.
Yeah.
But the first one has just got to taste good.
Yeah. But they branched out to like cheese and kombucha and yogurt. I mean, if it's fermentable, they can probably help you out. Mm-hmm.
Not to mention distilling too.
Yeah. So yeah.
There's a little niche for all kinds of different corners of this hobby, right?
Absolutely. Anyway, back to this. Tej, but before, again, okay, last couple of weeks we've been talking about types of honey.
Right.
We did my meadow foam and my blackberry blossom and my radish blossom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we tried your avocado blossom.
Yes.
And your garlic honey, which it wasn't as big of a joke as you thought it'd be to me, because I didn't actually enjoy it a little bit.
It is fascinating. It's not taste. I wouldn't want to put it on toast with butter.
No.
But
as a glaze?
In a tea. But could I cook with it?
Yeah. A glaze on a ham?
Yeah.
Or chicken? Mm-hmm. Or turkey? Yeah.
Yeah. It has its place. And could I ferment that into something interesting? Possibly. It's worth a try.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard some very bizarre things fermented into award-winning meats. So, who knows?
The bar is there. But anyway, I have continued cleaning out pantries and boxes and things like that. And I have found...
Do you have a back to your pantry? Is there an end to those things you're finding?
I mean, I might eventually like reach a snowy little lamppost in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, hello. Watch out for the witch with the Turkish delights.
But Jeff Ryan... raspberry blossom and a blueberry blossom.
As well as a lavender blossom.
The lavender blossom honey.
And I'm going to let you try these first. And there's a little bit of backstory on two of these guys. And I see, first we're going to hit the raspberry blossom, which is a little bit crystallized.
Yeah.
But
that makes no difference to me in taste.
Now, if you remember, was it a week or two ago when we were tasting the... 2 weeks ago when we were tasting the blackberry blossom, I mentioned Aaron, or... my former co-host, made a he made a braggot with this, and it has a nice malty quality to it that I think works really nicely with grain.
Yep, the blackberry, the raspberry I tried is it's you've got the raspberry undertones.
It's a hint of sourness.
Yeah, and there's, but right up front is that sourness. You beat me to it, but yeah, it's right there up front, hitting the right side of my tongue before I got anywhere hardly. But solid. I mean, this is okay. Even if being crystallized, I'd put it over like a waffle
Mm-hmm.
or ice cream, being crystallized. But as a honey, yeah, I mean, the raspberry honey or raspberry mead is almost a gimme anywhere you go. And this would be a great way to start.
So let's transition to the blueberry, though. The blueberry is one of two that I think is. I have a little bit of backstory with these.
Okay. Go ahead.
So.
Oh, there's a lot more blueberry flavor in that. It doesn't have the sour bite.
Is a pronounced blueberry note to it that you still get a lot of honey sweetness. There is a little almost caramely kind of note to it. But you kind of get the roundness of the blueberry in the, especially like towards the mid palate and when you swallow.
And the blueberry flavor kind of coats the entire tongue really nicely. I like that one far, nothing against raspberry, but I like the blueberry a lot better.
So
What's your story about the blueberry and raspberry blossom honey, though?
well, there is another story in which the lavender blossom, which is next, dries into. With the blueberry blossom, my wife has this friend that comes over fairly frequently from Casey, and she has tried a number of my different meads over the years.
Unofficial tester.
One of the first big batches of a mead that I made with the Voss Kveik, I made with blueberry blossom honey. And she still swears to this day, 5 or 6 years later, that was the best batch of meat I've ever made.
Really hit really well with it then. Yeah.
Very memorable. Now, the lavender blossom has a similar story in that I made a single gallon of this one with a Voss Kveik, and I let it go hot because it was middle of summer. And the lavender blossom honey just has a delightful level of complexity to me.
It has a lot of there's a lot going on in this honey. I will. I mean, I don't. I taste floral, but I don't know what lavender tastes like. So I'm just that's the lavender I'm going to go with.
I mean,
But it's got a very unusual mouthfeel structure.
yes, it has a character that to me is suggestive of like the menthol in mint, but it's not potent enough to
It's
put it
not
in the
potent,
meat.
but that's unusual. I mean, it's good, but it's a floral with a weird carry underneath. I can't. There's a little bit of carameliness in the back end of it, but I like it. It's just really strange to me.
And it has an interesting level of complexity to me, but for my money, the best mead that I personally have ever made was a 1 gallon lavender blossom honey with Voss Kveik yeast.
Okay, and which Kvike yeast was it? Do you
Voss.
just the Voss? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the one with a little bit of orange character.
Yeah, the orange. Yeah, I was saying the one with the tropical wouldn't work as well. But.
Voss is kind of my go-to these
Okay.
days. I like that citrusy note to it that it gives it.
Okay. Well, we've had honey. Now we must have mead.
We're gonna run out of honey before too long, unless we can. Maybe we'll take a road trip up to Minneapolis and go steal Adam's
Entire
100-plus
library.
library of
Yeah.
little honey jars
Okay,
that we
if we've
keep.
never mentioned this, guys, that we Jeff knows a guy named Adam up in
Yeah,
Minnesota.
Adam Bystrom, shout
Yeah.
out, dude.
Yeah. How you doing? Yeah. If we're knocking on your door, it's probably not gonna be that friendly. We'll be nice about it, but
You need them half-pint jars, buddy.
yeah, start bringing them out. But he was asked like a 2 day notice for a Valkyrie horn years ago, right? 3 years ago now.
This year.
It was this year.
No, but he for not the last one, but the one before that and a couple before that, I think. He had a library of 98-ish
Yeah.
little half-pint
It
jars
was actually
of different.
96. I counted them when I was there.
I was close.
Yeah, you were close. But they told him like 2 days ago, like, bring some honey. So he filled up as many little tiny jars as he could, and he had 96 jars. So that's all he brought.
Well, they told I got to judge with him at Valkyries this year, and he's like, "Yeah, no, I got the message like a few days before this week, and I couldn't get the library out in time." So,
But yeah, we may have to come up there and raid your library there, buddy. But what we have today is from Oppengard,
Oppengard, yeah.
and
And
it's a pear peach mead with cinnamon added.
let's risk. Oh, it's half of this is in English. Scotty Winter. Scotty Winter.
I don't know what Scotty is, but
Hey, I'm halfway in bad. But yeah, as Chris mentioned, this is a pear peach mead with cinnamon added, and this is 14% ABV. Contains sulfites. That's a natural product of yeast, though,
yeah,
so
it
that's not
really
going
is.
to be.
It's hard to make a wine or mead without some sulfites.
I mean, most of these say no sulfites added. Does not mean no sulfites present, you
Yeah.
know? Exactly.
Okay, so we got a dark amber going here, medium to dark amber.
There's just a little trace of bubbling on this. I don't know if it's just a. I gave it a little bit of a rougher pour,
It's
and
got a little bit of leg action going there.
I swear I saw some, but now I'm swirling the glass and I'm not. Maybe I'm just
I
thinking.
mean,
Yeah, there's a little bit of leg.
there's a little bit of leg action there, so it's thicker.
Not that that
And
means anything, but I keep checking it because it means enough to people that it means stuff to. So,
the smell is honey, and I'm not catching a lot of cinnamon.
I mean, I'm getting more cinnamon than anything else. I'm getting a little honey. I'm getting some cinnamon, and I think I'm getting some peach. The smell overall is very light, but if you think about it, pear and peach.
Are incredibly light fruits.
Yeah, they don't have a strong, potent smell to them in the first place.
But the taste is a different story. It's got a hard bite in front.
It's the you get the acidity from the peaches for
Yeah.
sure, and the there's almost a lingering tingle across the mid palate for that cinnamon too.
Yeah, that actually it's a very pleasant tingle, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, ooh. Yep, Oppengard, yeah, you're impressive.
I like this rather a lot. I mean, you
Yeah.
know, the sad part is, though, we can't kill this whole bottle.
Yeah, our wives are upstairs, and if we don't share some,
They're going to be upset.
yeah, and I it's a long walk home for me, buddy. So I'll save some for my wife. And we're gonna kill as much as we can get away with.
Sure, for sure.
All right, back to Tej. Now, a few weeks ago, we saw from Mead Dummy.
Yeah.
He was doing a Ethiopian style mead, but he threw instead of
The Geshe root.
the Geshe root, he threw in Corseret, and Corseret is very different.
Yes, it's not Gesho at all. It's a we kind of went on a rabbit hole of different Ethiopian drinks that are not Tej to talk about Tej.
Yeah.
And I still haven't tasted a proper Tej.
Yeah,
So
and we've actually looked up a if we want to get Corseret, that stuff's expensive. Yeah, I mean,
it looks a little pricey, yes.
what was that? It was 100 grams for like
Right,
$70.
which is 3.5 ounces.
Yeah, just over 3 ounces. I'm sitting here, and I actually yelled to my wife when Jeff was there. I said, "Hey, dear, can I get a 100 grams of tea for $70?" And she gave me the wife look and says, "What for?" Well, I haven't had it before.
To her credit, she did not give you the immediate no, which you may have deserved.
I actually expected it, I'll be honest, completely honest about it. She didn't say completely no because she knows that when I am okay, if she says no, it's no, I'm not gonna get it. I mean, finances are finances, that's cool, it's fine. Hama. She'll have to tell me no. If she waits too long, I will order it, and then she'll say no. Then it's too late. But anyway, but he used Corseret, but Tej does not use that. It uses Gesho. Now Gesho is a little bit related to hops, I found out.
That is a good question, and I don't know if it's a like a philological relationship or if it's just a usage relationship.
And I honestly, I did not look that thing up, but
Let's
I we if it's used as a substitute for hops, because it didn't say it was hops, is that it was something like hops. And but the hops is, hops is for a bitterant for like beers, but if it's not hops, we could make a bragget out of it, and it's topless. And that would be.
That kind of falls into the category of Gruitt's, yeah,
Yeah, Gruitt's.
where which was kind of it's again we're getting into historical styles, and we're kind of I think Tej is its own historical
Oh,
style
yeah.
technically too, so we're kind of all over the place, but
Yeah, it's funny because you'll hear the old adage between England and America. America thinks 100 years is a long time, and England thinks 100 miles is a long way. We're talking Ethiopia, Africa. England doesn't have that history that they do.
so looking at just kind of poking around Wikipedia here, I mean the hops and Gesho are related in that they're both members of the Rosales family, but so are roses and strawberries.
So they
It's
could
a
be.
pretty broad family.
Okay, well, and that's fine, and I'm absolutely happy to know that because I would like to have this as a hopless
Right.
gruit for me because I would love to try that.
Well, and this is so the Kosaret tea, I think. Let's talk more about Kosaret before we get into other beverages, because the way I see it, there are three different beverages here that we could talk about, and the Kosaret tea is the first that you mentioned, so the first we should address.
Now, Kosaret is used for using with clarified butter to help preserve it.
Interesting. Okay.
And it's, they say it has health benefits for like antioxidants and not just the preservative quality and things like that as a tea.
Now they're using it not only as a preservative but also as a flavor in here
Yes.
too.
The flavors are incredibly unique for me. And I think we brought up maybe last week on it. I thought we
Possibly,
glazed over a little bit.
maybe the week before. They're kind of running together because we've been drinking at the time,
Oh yeah,
and then
but
I took
it has a
downs.
bright lemon, herbaceous and slightly minty taste. It often described as similar to a mixture of basil and oregano,
Now.
which that in itself sounds like a delightful meat.
Yeah, that all by itself could make a great mead. And I'm kind of, when we watched the Mead Dummy video, he mentioned that it tasted too strong.
Which means you can just use less.
Right.
Well, the guy also dumped a whatever amount full, a half a bag full directly into his
It was a
bucket.
2 gallon bucket,
Yeah.
and he did not fill it all the way up. He used a gallon of water plus honey plus the tea stuff. So he ended up with a gallon plus. Minus his, leaves and detritus and stuff.
Yeah.
But looking at this, like it's listed as a member of the Verbenaceae family, so it's like lemon verbena. And I, flavor wise, I see it's like closest to Mexican oregano, which is a nice flavor herb for cooking. I
Now,
mean, this is a fascinating thing that as much as like. I really like Mead Dummy's content for the novel flavor characteristics that he shows. He does things that annoy me, like measures honey by weight and nutrient by volume instead of nutrient by weight and honey by gravity. But
It's his thing.
yes.
The part I liked most about the Kosaret was we talked about summer meads last week. This one has a lemony, minty aroma and flavor.
And
And that is right up the alley of a summer mead.
I almost want to get some of the Kosaret, some dried lemon verbena, some dried lemon balm, and do like a side by side and see like what we like better of the three of them, because they sound, maybe even throw Mexican oregano in there
Just because, yeah.
for S&Gs.
But we would have to. Okay, if she doesn't say no. But if she doesn't explicitly say no, I could have it in a week or two.
Why do I feel like I'm flashing back to being 12-year-old Jeff. Mrs. Martindale, can Chris come out and play with alcohol?
Well, as long as she's not down here with a stick, I'm in pretty good shape. Don't get me wrong, my wife does not beat me. She loves me dearly. But I'm like many
You just
husbands.
can't admit to it.
I can't wait. One, I can't admit to it. And B, I can't say I don't deserve it either.
Plus, if you did admit to it, she'd just beat you more. So,
Yeah. Well, hey, she did promise you she would never kill me because the dead don't suffer.
there is that.
There is that.
There is that.
I am set. I will live forever. Anyway. But the Kosaret herbaceous, bright lemon, and slightly minty taste. Sounds like a summer mead to me. Especially if you, okay, now Tej, just to break a little piece off of Tej, right? Tej is generally made around 6%, give or take, as low as 2.7, as high as 21.7. But generally, it's made between 6 and 11%, and I have attributed that to the yeast that the thing managed to get at that time. But make a 6% mead with a Cosrac, and with that bright lemon and herbaceous and minty flavor, or smells at least, that would be
I
nice.
mean, I could even see, let's find a really light honey like alfalfa or black locust that is just kind of low in low in flavor character, very light of body once fermented. A 10 or 12% with that, with just like lemon, herbaceous, and minty would still
And let it ride.
just
Just
like
let that ride out.
10 or 12% could still handle that, and it would be light and it would be airy and it would be dangerous.
Yeah. So that's going on the list. Afraid so.
I make like one mead a month, dude, and we're adding like something, if not multiple things, every episode.
Yeah.
You're son of a bitch.
You know, I don't feel bad about it.
You're a bastard.
Thank you. I can take that. I'm not, but I can take it. Oh, anyway, but that's Corset. I mean, it's got a lot of wonderful properties there I really like.
And,
But
well, and we're talking about making a tea from the Cosaret. The Cosaret is actually the herb base, versus if we talk about Tej, that is a beverage
It's a
in and of
beverage.
itself. I don't think you could technically go to, if you technically went to Ethiopia and you spoke the language and you said, "Hey, I would like some Cosaret," I'm pretty sure they would hand you some herbs and not a beverage.
Yeah, here's a fistful of herbs. There you go.
Versus if you ask for some Tej, you're going to get a mead made with geisha root.
Yes, and but you know, still, Kosrat is fascinating in and of itself. And the mead dummy put me onto that,
Yeah.
and I jumped down the rabbit hole, as I do.
All kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Now, let's contrast this with Tej. Like you were talking about, Tej is like, I haven't yet to try a traditionally made Tej, or like, I think Nathan was telling me that he had a, his interpretation of a Tej, that he was fairly proud of. And it's Nathan Stegman. Guy knows what he's doing. So I'm willing to say, okay, well, if you're pretty proud of it, it's got to be decent,
Yeah, it's
right?
actually pretty decent.
But the Tej, as I understand it, is kind of like a traditional way to make mead in Ethiopia, and they use geisho root. The geisho is it's not necessarily that closely related to hops, but it serves the same purpose as hops do, or herbal stuff in a gruit
It kind
recipe.
of pulls away the sweetness.
It adds some bitterness
Yeah.
to balance against the sweetness, so that it's not like it's not cloying.
Yeah.
And you can consume a little bit more of it before you get kind of, tired of it.
And every article I found on Tej, it's bright yellow. And there's a bottle I have on the screen here that I'm showing you. It's like a pear shape with a slightly long neck on top. And so it's roughly palm sized, and that's traditionally what's served it.
Interesting.
And I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it's part of the aesthetic. But Tej, with the honey water, and geisho, I'm sorry, geisho, the herb in it, is considered medicinal. And
Many bitter herbs are,
yeah.
and frankly, like if you've ever made the mistake of biting down on a like a pill tablet or medicine, most of those are bitter anyway. It's just kind of the way medicine works. So I see a level of continuity there.
Yeah.
If it tastes bitter and I'm putting it in something alcoholic, it's either medicinal or it's I'm going to call it medicinal while I drink.
Yeah. The other thing about Tej is that the Tej drink itself is cloudy. It's never clear. Which means, I guess, as it suspends itself, and it's and the way they do it, it tends to be effervescent. So But if this is something that in Ethiopia they make 40 plus thousand tons a year with this.
Now, and I'm kind of just browsing through the history of this here. It is It has an extensive history in Ethiopia, and so a lot of this makes sense. The cloudiness, sure, because they don't have filtration. I'm willing to bet this is the kind of thing where you're, depending on your cultural attitudes towards fermentation, like grandpa or your uncle or your grandma or your mother showed you how to put X amount of honey into a beverage container with water and the gesho root, X amount of Y amount of gesho root, I guess, and wait for some kind of signal, and then, oh, you have a beverage.
Beverage.
And it's kind
Now,
of a traditional process rather than, okay, we're going to mix this until an egg floats in it, or we're going to mix this until we get to 1085.
but it's this is arguably one of the oldest recipes of mead or of a honey wine mix.
And it seems to have the this is beating out Polish mead for continuous like fermentation, I would think. Just based on what I'm seeing here, and it's kind of hard to put a pin in it, but
Well, and that's something that historians can argue about.
sure.
But Ethiopia being one of the first cultures that have records of a mead, I think that would argue I could argue that they're one of the first to have that, have the longest running ones. But that's just, I'm not a historian, I'm not an anthropologist, but I'm just using a little bit of sense as the little information I have.
If nothing else, they're one of a very limited number of cultures that have a continuous production of a mead beverage up to the modern era. And that's pretty goddamn cool all by itself.
Now,
Now,
go ahead.
the again, we're getting to what defines this. Like, I get the feeling that we had they were essentially relying on like a natural fermentation process, whatever kind of natural yeast were floating around in the air, and the gesho was there to kind of create the balance between the sweetness of the honey and everything else. You had mentioned earlier, you know, the average on these guys is probably about 6% ABV, but it goes as low as like 2% and as high as 20%. And it is almost always served cloudy from what I've heard. All of this kind of just speaks to, hey, this is a naturally fermented thing, and we just kind of let it go according to tradition rather than trying to make like I hold up a polished like flint glass bottle
From
of
Oppenheimer.
right of a dark amber mead that has been probably filtered at the very least fined, and all the modern process to make a pretty beverage that sits in the bottle that sits in our glass and is attractive like that, right?
I'm not saying it can't be attractive. I'm not saying it couldn't be filtered, but
But that's
everything I've
not the
seen,
style they
that's
do,
not the style they use.
and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a different approach to it, and that's to me, that's cool.
But I don't know their type of honey they use. I mean, they'll trick that out.
And it's probably whatever's easiest to gather in the area, right? Like, oh, you could call it a wildflower, but it's whatever the flora of the region are producing at the time they're harvesting it.
I mean, the only reference I found was actually Wikipedia said they harvest wild honey for it, and that's all they really said.
That makes sense.
So, but that's Tej, and that's a fascinating look at Tej for me because I love this kind of thing. Not just the science, but the process of they make them in barrel-sized hive honeys, and they just add their water, stir it thoroughly, and I don't know what yeast they use, or they put a cheesecloth over it and let yeast come in on its own, but there you go.
Now, there is an Ethiopian restaurant down at City Market,
There is.
and I think they have some kind of meat on the mark the menu.
Ooh, I'm gonna be there in a day or two.
But I'm not sure if it's a tej or if it's just like a mead. And I'm not sure. I have a lot of questions here because it seems like that is a good way to get a at least a commercially available tej, if not something comparable to a traditionally produced tej. It's something, right?
So I'm going to be on there, let's say it's Thursday. I'll be there in 2 days. And I will find out.
All right, let's ask
I'll
some
ask them if they
questions.
have any information about Tej.
Now, That said, there is a third Ethiopian drink that I find fascinating, interesting, that is not Tej, and it's more of a beer than a mead, although from the folks that I've talked to about it, they throw some honey into theirs. So it's almost like a braggot.
It's right then, okay.
But they call it, I believe it's called Tella. And I could have, from what I've gathered, Tella. From what I've gathered, there's actually like a few dozen different indigenous Ethiopian homebrew like styles or recipes. But there's a local Ethiopian diaspora in the Overland Park area that goes to shop at Bacchus and Barleycorn once or twice a month to get heavily roasted barley to make this. It's a very low ABV kind of a beer. Or honestly, to me, it tastes like a little. This is gonna sound silly. It tastes like a little bit flat and a little bit unsweetened Coca-Cola. It's
Really?
more soft drink like than beer because I don't think they're using like a bittering agent like the geisha or the hops or what have you in it. I think it's mostly just the malted grains. If I remember right, they use a lot of barley and a little bit of wheat or flour or something like that, and ostensibly, this is like a family recipe, so it varies place to place. But what you get is a dark, opaque liquid that is, it looks a lot like Coca-Cola, and it tastes a lot like Coca-Cola. Not quite as sweet, not quite as effervescent, but it's there. It's pretty good because, these guys come into the store once or twice a month. They buy a few pounds of roasted or carafa grains, depending on which family's coming in and who's buying what. And you can only do that so many times before, like me and Jackie go, hey,
What you making?
what you're not buying the yeast, you're not buying light grains that. So here's the thing. If they were just buying like half a pound of roasted malt or half a pound of carafa or a smaller amount for a 5 gallon batch, that would feel normal. That's like a that's fairly normal for if you're making like a stout or a darker color beer, because really those grains are for flavor more than anything else.
Okay, but this
The
is
bulk of your like fermentables, you're generally getting from like a pilsner or pale malt, a lighter quality grain that hasn't been kilned and cooked as much. It's not as dark looking for a start. The roast or the carafa, you're getting color and you're getting flavor from those at the expense of the sugar that has been kind of slow cooked out. Or, well, it's been the proteins have been folded to the point where the yeast can't get them, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, while you were talking, I actually looked up the Tella. I just pulled up the Wikipedia page because that it may not be 100% accurate, but it'll give us an idea.
Sure.
And it says it's a traditional beer from Ethiopia is brewed with various grains can change depending on location. Typically include barley or teff. I guess that's their version of barley.
A teff, I think, is a kind of an ancient grain, but I could be wrong.
Okay, I'll take your word for that. I don't know. Can depending on region could be wheat, sorghum, or corn. It may be used, and spices can be added. Dried and ground shiny leaf buckthorn leaves are used for fermentation. It's made in a clay pot. Clay is washed with a plant called agwa. Grawa,
Grawa, it looks like. I could
grawa,
be wrong.
and after it is smoked with a wira, which is Abyssinian rose,
Abyssinian rose, yeah.
and alcohol is 2 to 4% by volume. That's pretty light.
It is, well, I mean, 3.5% is light beer in a lot of jurisdictions in the United States. So, yeah, it's on the lighter side. That does explain why it came off as more of a soft drink than a
A beer.
beer to me when I got to try it.
They did not mention any hops in this article. I mean,
No.
it's a short article. It's like two paragraphs, two, three paragraphs. But they didn't mention hops, so it'd be considered a hopless.
Right. It would, I mean, if they're just using grains as the, well, if they're using grains by itself, yeah, that is a beer. If we were making I guess technically, if we were making a grain plus honey, but without the geisha, without the hops, that would still be a braggot, I would think, because it's a grain-based, at least a significant portion of them are fermentable sugars derived from grain and from honey. I don't know what else to call that except maybe experimental, but weird. That's another rabbit hole all by itself.
Yeah, I didn't know about this one, therefore I didn't go down this rabbit hole.
Right,
So,
right.
but I don't know the things I don't know yet. I'm working on it as fast as I can. But anyway, but that's a short little jaunt we took you into both Coruscant, Tej, and now Tella. And I hope that gives you guys some ideas, but
I mean, and the kind of circling back, obviously Tej is a mead all by itself. The Kosaret we've seen instantiated as a mead, and I think based on the flavor profile, we might want to tone it down compared to what that guy did, but it has potential.
It has incredible
Tella
potential.
here also, I think,
As
has some potential.
a braggot, it has incredible depth to do there.
Like, just from a random thought process, I have not thought of. I've heard of smoked beer, I've heard of smoked mead, very rarely.
But it was smoked.
The Smoky Pete from Sap House, where
Yeah.
he smoked
Yeah, he's
the
yeah.
honey, that, and then they aged it in a Scotch barrel.
And that was it
I have the second bottle from the first run of that, and it's never getting opened.
That's a waste.
It is, but it isn't.
Okay.
Like there's something special about that, and I'm willing to just let that be special
Okay.
for a while. That said, I'm also not opposed to trying to iterate on that either. But the idea of a gruit, like a braggot, with grains instead of hops and some kind of smoky flavor in there, I've never heard of that.
That's new.
And that could be interesting in a way that, like, this is what I love about this hobby is you just pull a couple threads and you go down rabbit holes, and there is so much, like, obviously Tej has a history,
Oh
right?
yeah, huge.
And Polish meads have a history, and there are we have history books and stories that are, they might be apocryphal, they might be like not exactly historically accurate, but mead is through human history.
Yeah.
But there is no like hard and fast rule for a lot of places that says, well, this is how you make mead and this is what mead is. We're kind of figuring that out as we go.
Like
And
we've lost so much information through history. We're relearning a lot, and it's not a bad thing.
no. But in the, I'm not sure the definition of, well, this is exactly how we make mead in this city or this region of France, and that's the only way we're going to do it because that's what everybody likes. The way that so many parts of Germany and like Belgium have their own little styles of beer, that's just how they make beer there.
And but
And
I'm sure they
man,
never ever drink any other kind of beer.
in modern times, I'm sure they have all kinds of different beers on tap selection wise.
Yeah,
100 years ago,
not so much.
you kind of had whatever your local brewery was making.
Good or bad.
And I feel like wine styles are very much the same way. You know, there's a reason so many of these like regions that where they make wine in France and Italy are synonymous with the kind of wine they grow there.
So yeah, but there you go, guys. I mean, I don't know if I'm gonna get Abyssinian rose to smoke out a pot with, a clay pot with, to make the Tella. But I'm not opposed to using smoked.
Some kind of smoked flavor. We've
Smoked
got some
flavor.
smoked peppercorns. We could try just the.
We could smoke some oak. Get a smoked oak. And that might do it too.
No, there's.
There's latitude here. So, I know. You make one a month, and this, and I do this,
I've got like four now, dude.
and
It's not fair.
slacker.
I'm trying.
Yes, and if you ask my wife, I'm very trying.
If you ask me, my wife can be very trying. No, I love my wife. Yeah.
And I can tell I've seen you together. You're a wonderful couple. Anyway, but that's our show for today. That's really all we looked into this last week. And because
if we keep going, I'll just have two or three more to put on the list, and that's just not fair.
I fail to see the problem here. That's me. My list gets shorter faster than yours does.
So next week we'll be auditioning new co-hosts.
Oh no, not again. Anyway. All right, guys, thank you for your time with us today. I hope you enjoyed the show. Write your comments to us, at info@themeathouse.com.
Let us know if you guys have more information about Tej or Tella or the Kosherette, any of these, the cool indigenous Ethiopian beverages. And like, did we get something wrong? Do you have more information? Like, we are doing fairly cursory searches for, a few hours in our spare time and trying to figure stuff out as we go.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we're dead wrong, please tell us.
Correct. We will gladly correct.
If you have more information that is just cool and fascinating, that's also cool and fascinating.
Yeah. Bring it on.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you. So, yeah, for the moment, I think we'll call it good here. So, cheers.
Have a good day, Jeff. Happy meeting everybody.